Welcome to the Invest Like a Boss podcast.
I'm Sam Marks.
And I'm Johnny FD. We're self-made entrepreneurs who invest our own money and use modern technology to invest like a boss.
Join us each week for exclusive interviews with our network of modern investors, business owners, and multimillionaires to discover new ways to invest our hard-earned cash.
Boom shakalaka. Welcome to episode 212 of the Invest Like a Boss podcast. I am actually on my way back to San Francisco. You know that, Derek?
No way. We're going to be in the same state. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm leaving the day after tomorrow. So when this episode airs, I'll be in San Francisco. I'll be in California.
Oh, that's so awesome. I don't know how much really warmer it's going to be, Johnny, but I'm excited for you to come back. It's been, you know what? You haven't been in the US since I've even been on the show.
Yeah, it's been over 2 years.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, but it's only going to be for a week. So unfortunately, I won't be coming down to Southern California, but I am doing a meetup. It's in the Patreon. Two guys have already committed, so we're definitely going to do it. It's going to be next Friday. So if you guys are in town, if you guys are catching this live, go ahead and check it out in the Patreon group.
That'll be the day after this episode comes out. So if you are hearing this as it comes out, I think you'll have a chance to get up in the Bay with John A.
Yep, there we go. Yeah, but I'm excited. I'm, you know, see my parents again. I'm not excited for how expensive everything's going to be. The flight was pretty cheap, but I have a feeling that food and just, I don't know, just like day-to-day stuff, it's going to blow my mind.
You're going to be in for a shock, because remember when I was in Ukraine this summer, I was like, oh, everything's so cheap. It's so cheap. I was like tipping like crazy tips. And you're like, what are you doing? I'm like, dude, compared to the US, I'll leave 50 to 75% tips all day, because it's still a fraction of what I pay. So I think you're going to be in for a shock, Johnny.
Yeah, because I was shocked two years ago when I went back, because prices had already gone up. So, and that was before this like crazy inflationary period we just had.
Yeah, everything has definitely gone up. I think it's leveling off a little bit now. Some stuff actually seems to have come back down, but you know, like food prices and restaurants going out and stuff. Once that stuff goes up, it never goes back down. So I think we're in it for the long run.
Yeah, luckily I just want to have some like cheap Chinese food, some tacos, and then eat at home where it's free.
Awesome. Well, I don't think you'll have any problem finding any good food in San Francisco. Should be a fun trip. I'm excited for you.
Yeah, thanks. So this is going to be a fun episode. This is a common stock. They are kind of like this social platform for investors. I don't know. Is that fair to say? Like kind of the Twitter, Reddit, but connected to your E-Trade or your Robinhood account?
I think that is definitely fair, where it's more focused just on investing, whereas Twitter, you can literally post about anything, or Reddit, you can post about anything, and then there's little subgroups within it. This is primarily just for investors, and it also helps weed out a lot of the BS from people that, I don't know about you, Johnny, but when I go on Twitter and I follow some investors and stuff, and then Twitter recommends, you know, people to show tweets to and things of that nature. And it's just these people are like, look how amazing I am. I did a day trade today and made $7,000, and I do that every single day. And there's no proof of it, though. So it's like, if you're so great at this and doing it, why are you telling all these people about how great you are, not actually out doing it? So I'm really skeptical about a lot of people I see. And I think Common Stock has a nice solution for people to really prove their results.
Yeah, I do like it. And there's a lot I want to talk about in the outro, because it's definitely not perfect, but it's definitely a million times better than Twitter or Reddit, which both have their faults. You know, social media in general, but especially those two places, it's kind of this weird mix where, you know, you literally have brilliant minds like Elon Musk, you know, and, you know, some very successful, famous investors, but also entrepreneurs who do use Twitter. And then occasionally they might go on Reddit. But then you also have, you know, tens of thousands of random people, hundreds of thousands of random people, some of them who are literal 13-year-old kids in their mom's basement. They're just trolling, thinking it's funny to you know, make up complete lies. You also have, you know, you know, guys in their 40s who are, you know, maybe complete losers and completely broke, but online they're superheroes. You know, there's other people who, you know, sound like they're, you know, they're talking a big game, but you never know who they are because it's mostly anonymous and there's no way to track it.
Exactly. So I think Common Stock's got a little bit of advantage here with that, where you do, if you really want to prove that you are who you are, you have to link actual brokerage accounts or, you know, crypto accounts or things of that nature to say, hey, I bought a Bitcoin at the dip today. As we're recording this, Bitcoin is down to about $40,000. And let's say it hits 50 next week and you look like a genius. Well, you all that exact move is all recorded within Common Stock and broadcast out to the public as a percentage. You know, you don't show actual dollar amounts, which is probably a good thing.
I don't know. I don't know if that's a good thing, because I want to know if someone bought one Bitcoin or one 100th of a Bitcoin, or they bought 100 Bitcoin. Like, to me, that makes a big difference.
I think so too, but I think we kind of get into this zone where, like you and I, Johnny, and Sam to an extent are really open with our finances, and the general public really isn't still.
Yeah, you're right. But you know, in this case, I was trying to think of the solution because it is hard. I understand that people don't want their exact numbers out there. I just wish there was some way where maybe you can like just tick a box, you know, maybe it's default or something in everyone's profile that says disregard any accounts worth less than $1,000. Because
there you go. Maybe set up a minimum. You know, I like that idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Because if someone's not trading, you know, at least $1,000 worth of a stock, I don't care. Like, if, right. if they YOLO'd, you know, $20, I don't care. Like, it's just like,
That's a good point. And you could just use it as a business write-off and you'd be like, hey, I was using it for my Common Stock account. It was a test.
Yeah. So, you know, as I said, you know, earlier, it's definitely not perfect, but I think it has a lot of cool features, you know, and what's cool about it is it's brand new. It's something that's never existed before. So let's take a listen on what exactly it is. And then in the outro, we'll talk a little bit more.
Awesome. Yeah, I got to sit down with the founder and CEO, David McDonough. He's actually a younger guy about our age. He's got a pretty cool backstory. He worked with Google for a long time. He was actually a professional squash player, which I didn't even know that was a thing, but I thought that was really interesting. And we talk about how he got to where he is today and his inspiration for starting Common Stock. So with that, I think he'll answer a lot of our questions. And then Johnny, you and I will come back and we'll talk about those points you touched on. I also want to get your thoughts on how you see this new trend of, you know, retail investors empowered to the retailers and if it's a good thing for the market or not. We'll discuss it in the outro though.
All right, let's take a listen.
Back here on Invest Like a Boss, really exciting episode here. We like to find these new things out in the financial world, and this one really caught my eye. I have David McDonough. He's the founder and CEO of a new social media platform specifically for traders called Common Stock. David, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Definitely appreciate you being on to tell us about this. So I think I want to start right away is, can we kind of get a background on you? I did a little snooping on your LinkedIn and other places, and you have a really interesting background. Can you kind of tell us how you got to where you are today? And you're still a really young guy. So why don't you kind of give us the whole maybe college to today? What happened there?
Well, I appreciate the gratuitous young. I mean, I don't necessarily feel young, but I I get called a boomer on a daily basis, I think. By
I do too. Don't worry about
I
it.
I claim that I'm Gen Z. I identify as Gen Z. So there's probably some disconnect there. No, but it's funny because I definitely have a very circuitous, I would say, non-traditional route to getting here. And I actually think, to be totally candid, that's probably the most important thing that I enjoy sharing with people, especially people starting out in their career.
And you know what? That's really a common thing that we find with a lot of our listeners too, that there's no one direct path. And a lot of times the alternative path seems to be the more interesting way to do it and kind of almost better than the traditional route of I got a financial degree and I got my license and I became a stockbroker type thing. It's less and less common these days.
Oh, there's no question too that that's the more exciting and in my opinion, an enjoyable path. And it's also, I think, actually the most effective. And I not to go off on a tangent, but was having a conversation just yesterday with someone very successful in the real estate investing world who, and she had done something similar because all of her friends took the straight and narrow path towards, you know, banking and then private equity and so on and so forth. And, you know, finding a different path is the way that you stand out and become a lot more successful. And you can actually find shortcuts. You can, you know, it's not cutting corners. It's finding faster routes to what you want. And for me, to try to tie this into an answer, it's been remarkably successful to look at the world almost from first principles on what you want to do and where you want to end up. When I graduated from college in 2008 straight into the financial crisis, I grew up in DC on Capitol Hill and didn't have any real financial experience. I didn't take any economics classes in college. I was actually a biochemistry major and I was planning on going to medical school. My dad gave me probably the best advice I'll ever receive, which was all of my friends went straight to Wall Street, to Lehman and Bear Stearns. That didn't turn out great for, I mean, they're fine now, but you know, my dad told me, go adventure, go explore before you go to medical school, before you start your career, you're probably going to have a, you know, 60-year career. Go explore while you have the chance. And right. So that's where to save money for, and I was very fortunate, just to be clear, fortunate enough to have played tennis and squash in college and to be able to do that and make some money to, try something different. And in the pro shop of the, you know, this was in New York, we were playing tournaments and coaching. As the world was collapsing, we were coaching all of these hedge fund managers and bankers who were all, you know, talking about how the world was ending and compensation would never be the same. Meanwhile, you know, we were in the service industry. I was coaching with people from all over the world, from Scotland and Zimbabwe and South Africa, and realizing, wow, we need to figure out how this stock market thing works. These guys have clearly figured out how markets work. This is something we should learn about. And so in the pro shop, every morning we would meet and we would talk about, we got E-Trade cards. We would, you know, have these quote unquote analyst meetings. We created this investment club back then, which we called, it sounds so stupid in hindsight, but Team America Recession Police, or TARP, named after the Troubled Asset Relief Program. And I mean, this was the original for me form of kind of YOLO investing that got me interested. Is I bought Citibank stock at $1 per share, pretty much at the bottom, because I realized that this company was so valuable. It was literally too big to fail. It was still a good company. And that is what really set the hook, where I realized how interesting and enjoyable it was to try to understand businesses and markets, you know, macro shifts and trends. And that Citi stock went from $1, I think, to $10 over the course of a few months. And I think I invested something pretty punitive, probably like $100 or something like that. And to have a 10 bagger as your first trade, which again is unfair, and I wouldn't
right. You could get you in trouble eventually if you expect everyone to do that.
Exactly. So I would definitely don't expect that, but it was like, oh, this, I know, I was so naive, right? And that's, we're seeing this new wave of people get into the market and explore. And in some ways, it's not what you would the traditional path to investing. But my stance is that just getting started is so valuable, right? And that's what happened for me, was I just by getting some skin in the game, I realized it opened my eyes to just the excitement and the interesting knowledge of buying and selling and researching companies, but also just understanding the difference between my hourly job coaching, right, where I got paid X dollars per hour, to something that for the first time in my life had kind of just made money while I slept, right? The difference between labor and equity, right? Or capital and labor. And so that's what got me really excited. I ended up scrapping med school, went to work at a VC fund to make tech investments, taught myself to code, moved to Google to do some corporate policy and corporate strategy. All the while, my friends and I are still constantly talking about markets and stocks and later crypto. And I started building this hacky little side project because I had two I'd say key insights from that first year in 2008, 2009. Two key insights were, one, doing this and learning about finance with my friends, learning about markets was unbelievably powerful because it was fun, right? It was engaging. No one was giving me a textbook and saying, read this. It was, we were just talking about companies that we enjoyed using the products of, and like analyzing quarterly reports together, and just that process of learning together and finding, being incentivized by it was such a powerful way, not just to learn about investing, but also everything else in financial markets and personal finance, et cetera. And then two, the second insight was, as I taught myself all of these concepts on the internet, kind of realized over the past decade, wherever people talk about the stock market or now crypto on the internet, there will always be snake oil salesmen or gurus or charlatans who are going to try to make a quick buck with scams or share inaccurate information, et cetera. And so I really wanted a way to verify and validate and basically amplify the people on the internet who actually know what they're talking about. So in 2017, as my friends and I had spent now 7 or 8 years learning and investing and trading together and really getting deep in the space, I started building this platform. It took off amongst my friends. That's when I quit Google and realized retail was going to be part of the mainstream zeitgeist. And I wanted to build what I'll effectively call sort of the Bloomberg terminal for Main Street, where it's a place for friends and followers and influencers to share their knowledge and their insights and actually verify their portfolio, their positions, their real-time trades, and a place that effectively amplifies the signal of smart investors over the noise of all the scammers. And here we are.
That's great. Do you mind if we just back up a little bit? Because I'm really curious about this group you started. So I don't know if we kind of touched on it, but you were a professional squash player, and which sounds really cool. And you're also coaching on the side, of course, and you're coaching all these Wall Street guys and gals. And it sounds like you were influenced by them, but were they actually giving you any, maybe, I guess not necessarily stock tips or information, but were they kind of mentoring you, or did you just see how successful these people were? And you're like, I want to get to that level, but I want to do it my way. And I think between myself and my friends getting together at, X amount of times a month or whatever it may be, that we could do it ourselves. Was it guided by these people you were teaching, or were you just inspired by them?
No, exactly. Just honestly, in hindsight, had I been smarter back then, I probably would have pushed a little bit more to get to have a mentor. But really it was the inspiration. I didn't even know this world existed, to be totally frank.
Sure.
And somebody one day came in and was telling me they had to sell their jet, right? And I'm putting $5 of gas into my old school Saab right, just to get to work. I was like, wow, that's kind of crazy. I didn't know that was really a thing. And it made, for better or worse, right, it gave me this insight into, and for me, it's not about the money. And if I'm totally honest, probably back then, straight out of college, it was more about the money.
Yeah.
I over time realized that money doesn't solve everything, and it's more about having impact. And I enjoy the process of learning and trying to predict the future. That's what I really love. And it's superficial at first blush that these ultra wealthy hedge fund people are what initially got me interested in this. And I had this chip on my shoulder because I had gone to school with a lot of people whose parents worked on Wall Street. That got me interested initially, but what sustained that interest was the excitement and the fun of just analyzing businesses, analyzing economics. And then the idea ultimately that this was such a great path for me specifically to level up, myself in my, basically, to be, again, transparent, my social stat, like the where I live in the social layers. Mm-hmm. If you could empower everybody else to just understand that these other, that there's a path to financial health that I didn't know existed, that would be so powerful and so impactful. And so that's what I always thought was really interesting about markets, was letting everybody, and it's historically been under 5% of the US, you know, participates. And God, what if you could change that and get so much more? And that's why I'm so excited about the past 2 years where retail has become really part of the mainstream. I think down the line in 10 years, traditionally people don't learn about the stock market or investing or any of these financial health items until they're starting a family or in their late 20s or 30s. We've got a wave of people who are in their teens who know who the chairman of the Fed is, you know, and are talking about inflation. And that's going to have a massive impact.
We found the same thing here on Invest Like a Boss. You know, I think the show was maybe started to, you know, how much money can we make? What's the best investments? And it's evolved to so much more than that. And to see the impact of these new people finding the show and finding out all different types of ways to invest and all this new technology that's accessible to everyone. And where it used to be like the good old boys club, the secret club, like you said, when you started teaching these people, you didn't really even know this life existed because it was almost kept as not necessarily a secret, but within they kept it within their own, and you know they weren't about to shout it from the rooftops of how these guys were getting rich. But I think that's all really starting to get exposed here, and platforms like Common Stock are really helping to make this accessible to everyone and saying you don't have to be, you know, working at a desk 100 hours a week on Wall Street to have this life or make this kind of money or have this kind of impact on your lives and other people's lives. That it's really to the point now where anybody can be successful and create their own path.
Right. And that's literally for me, what I think is interesting is I've never belonged to a country club. And it was for the first time, you know, again, it sounds, I'm sure the optics are interesting in terms of playing tennis and squash, but that got me in the door into these clubs. Mm-hmm. And that's where I realized the conversations that were happening. And that's where I realized what people were talking about in this whole other level. And I didn't have really the path to get there the traditional way. And I think what I'm excited about now is, as we've seen, you know, I think the internet is just obviously has opened the doors to so many new pathways. The path to success is no longer gate kept by those traditional, the Ivy League degree into connections to Wall Street. It's, I want Common Stock so badly to be the place where we can amplify the best investors that exist, help them build a track record, build a following. You know, we have this metric of follower assets, right? Where soon somebody will have $1 billion following them, right? And they can start building up a track record. We get this, to your point, constantly. Common Stock has helped people get jobs and start careers at, you know, premium top tier hedge funds. That's the coolest thing ever. Like, that's what it's all about for me is helping people establish from non-traditional backgrounds, their track record, their priors, and their insights, and give them a chance to participate where prior to this year, the past few years, they wouldn't have had that opportunity.
Awesome. So before we dig into the depths of Common Stock, let's say you walk into a room of people that have never heard of Common Stock. Give us your 60-second pitch on what Common Stock is.
Common Stock, you can think of like Reddit or Twitter, where you can link your existing brokerage account. So we are not a brokerage, but we are a social layer on top of existing brokerages. And what that means is you can connect your Robinhood, your E-Trade, your Fidelity, your Coinbase accounts, and you can share your portfolio by percentage only. So your dollar amounts are never shared, but you can show what crypto you own, what options you own. You can share your track record, and then you can post if you trade on Robinhood that your friends that follow you will get an alert that David just bought Tesla. And then you can add insights. You can say, here's why I'm buying Coinbase. I think it's undervalued. I think there's a lot of more room and I'm not worried about multiple compression or something like that, right? And that's where we built this social network that amplifies the insights of the best investors by letting them link their existing brokerage accounts to validate and verify for signal over noise.
So when you talk about linking your accounts, is that a qualification to even be on Common Stock? Do I have to link at least one account, or can I just be a casual observer of people I admire?
Oh, for sure. It is not required at all. It's 100% optional. And the entire platform is free to use. It's on web and iOS. It's an open community where if you want to build a following. If you want to share your portfolio with your friends, your family, or your followers, you have the option to link your brokerage account, but you certainly don't have to.
Great. So you said you don't see actual dollar amounts, which is nice, but percentages. So I know a lot of the purpose of common stock is to kind of weed out these scammers and these guys that are saying, you know, they're making 30% a week, or they just sold a stock for 70% profit in 2 days, stuff like that. So I assume when you connect to your brokerage account that you have to, if you're going to be transparent, you have to show all your trades. So, you know, I could buy Tesla at 1500 and sell it for 1800 in 2 days, but I might have bought an AMC and it lost 40% in the next day and I didn't want to share that. So once you sign up, do you have to share all your trades or can you be selective with it?
You can, at the trade level, you have to share everything. You can be selective in terms of accounts, right? So if I have a 401k that's not managed by me, I don't necessarily need to share that, right?
Sure.
But you can't share only your winners. I think, frankly, the most important part of common stock is people sharing their losers, because that's actually how you learn. And that's where the value comes in, is not just learn. And that's where people who, there's not a person in the world who hasn't had a loser in terms of trading. And if they haven't, then you should run away as fast as possible.
One of our most listened to episodes is actually our biggest mistakes we've ever made. And I actually just put a post up the other day. It's when we're recording this, it's the beginning of 2022. And I said, you know, what was your biggest investing mistake of 2021? And I listed mine, one that I unfortunately still holding, but did really poorly. And tons of comments about people just, you know, people, I don't want to say like to hear people fail, but it's a good lesson that, like, oh, this person did that, so I should not do this. And I think that resonates more than when you hear about people winning all the time.
Totally. And, you know, one of the interesting psychological things that we have learned, and I actually would, before jumping into that, one of my most popular, most upvoted posts on Common Stock was one of my failures trading Coinbase, because I sold too early. And then I bought calls, sold too early, and then bought back in. It ended up doing well, but that's just, you know, the classic tale of, if you believe in something, you know, let it run. And I wish I had held on to it. The interesting thing that we've learned is we thought that people would be very afraid to share their losses, their failures, but you, without that, you don't have the context for the winners, right? And that's such a critical, that's why you see on Reddit, you see loss porn. And I don't think of it actually as people wanting others to fail. I think of it genuinely as, it's so much healthier when there's full transparency and people are open and honest, and it actually drives more connection, right? Like, that's what loss porn is to me in a lot of ways, are people saying, willing to admit and be humble and say, I really messed this up, and I'm willing to share, and other people saying, I've done the same thing.
Right.
I made the same mistake.
It's a commonality among people.
That connection amongst traders is like, we've all been there. I don't know why we are scared to talk about it, but let's be transparent and open, and let's learn from it together and acknowledge it. And I think that's super healthy.
Yeah, it's good to be vulnerable. I think we're in a world of like Instagram, where life looks amazing all the time. It's kind of refreshing to see stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean that's what I would. That's exactly right. The transparency for me, there's a great, I don't know if this is there's a big overlap in audience, but Brené Brown has a great episode on vulnerability and leadership specifically, but vulnerability is what drives so much more connection. And it's truly just remarkable. That's what changes the tone of the community. If people are willing to openly share their mistakes, that's so much different than Instagram or places where all the filters can, no one's putting up the pictures really of their mistakes generally. So that's what I hope Common Stock can accomplish.
Awesome. So you said you'd started building the platform in 2017. At what point did Common Stock, as we know it today, essentially go live? And how many active users are you looking at since you've started?
Yeah, great question. We started building in 2017. You know, it started out as just me, brought on a few people. I think it was four people in an attic for a long time. The first version of it was basically just Slack or Discord for stocks. And it was just groups where your friends could see your trades, and there's a leaderboard. That was super valuable and drove an enormous amount of engagement. To be totally honest, we were probably a little bit early to the entire space. Back then, retail wasn't as obvious. Robinhood was starting to grow a lot. Coinbase was just getting off the ground. And it, you know, I actually had a lot of trouble raising the seed round back then because everyone thought that retail investing was dead. Of course, now with hindsight,
a little different story today. Yeah.
Yep. Things have changed. But it's great because we powered through that and were able to raise a seed round to build the current version, which is more of a full social network with a feed of insights and news and trade alerts relevant to your portfolio, people that you follow, along with the ability to find other, you know, influencers, to see some data from, you know, aggregated across the community. So we started building this product in around 2019. And let's see, I guess we went live in, we went live in 2020 with a beta and end of 2020. And so that's when we rolled out this current iteration of the product. And it's been, you know, taking off like gangbusters since then. Of course, I couldn't predict GME and COVID happening together as these accelerants to drive retail engagement. I did kind of, you know, back when Kodak and Hertz and Tilray were becoming these original micro meme stocks,
sure,
realized that, you know, social media and retail investing were going to eventually realize their ability to coordinate, and especially in thinly traded stocks, probably affect prices. But the that GameStop and COVID led to this, you know, astronomical growth month over month for us in users. We unfortunately have to keep the count close to the chest, but we've had, you know, billions of dollars of portfolios linked, and that's been really the focus. So far has actually not counterintuitively not been just full speed growth of users yet. It's all been happening organically. We've been really excited to see that we're focused purely on the quality of the community and building a very sustainable, lasting community, because I see so many social networks, especially in, you know, the last years, go after like the hype mania cycle where you get this crazy rapid growth, but then crash right afterwards because it's not quality, right? You don't focus on the quality of a community and the value of the interactions. And that's where we've been focused, is relentlessly focused on intelligent, smart people and their investing ideas. And so that's been the past, I think it's now 4 years since I first left Google, and here we are.
Awesome. So I want to get into more of the crowd investing, retail investor side in a second, but I got one more question I want to get in because I think it's important before we jump into that more on the platform of common stock. So if I'm sharing my account information and percentages and logging into my financial accounts through common stock, I think the obvious question that some people might be leery of is security. So if I'm going to have to put my passwords, account numbers, and things of that matter into common stock, what would you say to someone that's a little nervous about the security of all that?
Yeah. And so that's a great question. The funny thing about what I just mentioned, that, you know, the 4 years to get here, is we actually spent 2 full years primarily focused on security, building proprietary APIs that let us in a hyper secure way link directly to brokerages and crypto exchanges, because this product doesn't work unless there's trust in trust in data, trust in safety. That's priority 1 through 9 for our team. I started this knowing that I don't think the brokerage, like us being a brokerage, works, because I want to bring in different experience levels, right? It's the variety of focus, right, from pharma to crypto to tech, right? That diversity of opinion and thought is really valuable. And that's why that brokerage agnostic approach is so important, where you can link your interactive brokers. But we spent extra time and refused to launch early to make sure that we build things in the most secure way. And that means we actually never even store passwords or usernames. We use an OAuth flow. I can't go too deep into the mechanics. The other part of this is we don't actually ask people, we don't require people to link a brokerage. We actually would prefer that you start using the product and then build up trust, right? We want to earn your trust that this is a secure place. We don't have, you know, access to move money inside or out of your accounts. It's all built very specifically with security as the priority so that people are willing to do that.
Great. So let's jump into this crowd investing kind of trend that I guess, you know, really did kick off with COVID. A lot of people were at home, had more time on their hands and realized I can pretend I'm working at my other job and doing Zoom and trade on the side. Plays like AMC, GameStop, things of that matter. And, you know, I got to bring it up. I don't know how much you like talking about it, but, you know, groups like Wall Street Bets. When I go into Wall Street Bets or anything on Reddit, it's just, it looks like a huge mess. And it's like, I'm so ADD and my brain is just scattered. I'm looking at 100 different things and I don't know what I'm looking at. So it looks like a giant mess to me, but obviously some people have figured it out. What kind of sets you apart from something like a Wall Street Bets where it's more focus? Is there more focus of kind of that group mentality of people working together to maybe, you know, find, you know, that next AMC or GameStop or whatever it may be?
Yeah. And this is a funny, you know, I think we're going to look back on this entire phase of the market with just such a fascination, and there'll be behavioral economic studies for years. I think largely the information and liquidity online, you know, coupled with increased participation, have completely changed market dynamics. Mm-hmm. And I was using Reddit back when I started this back in the, you know, 2013, 2015 days. Wall Street Bets was tiny. All the other subreddits were pretty small. They were super noisy, very crowded. Mm-hmm. I, you know, without naming specific subreddits, I'm super torn on this because on one hand, the language and the caustic nature of, let's say, specific subreddits is not something that I condone or participate in. I think it's very easy to go into some entertainment-focused subreddits or corners of the internet and think that some of these jokes are people, like what people are really doing.
Sure.
But there's also, there are people in some of these subreddits like Roaring Kitty who are really actually have valid research and diligence and are sharing real insights and knowledge. And that to me is the problem with existing social networks where I could wax poetic on that forever, but I wanted a place that would take let the people who know what they're talking about, let their voices be heard. Because often the loudest voice in the room isn't the best salesman or the funniest joke, isn't the best investment insight or isn't the best investor, period, right? And so
right.
I wanted to build a platform that would let the cream rise to the top. And that doesn't mean it's overly serious, right? There can still be memes. It should still be engaging and entertaining in some ways. And that's up to you to opt into what kind of style you want. But mm-hmm. I really wanted a place, this Cambrian explosion in market participation is unquestionably net positive for society. Now I wanted to focus and harness a lot of that energy for something that's more sustainably good in the long term, if that makes any sense.
Definitely. So is this something that you could potentially see common stock, you know, being a market driver to specific stock names in the future where, you know, there could be enough momentum behind something where someone has, you know, proven themselves. Let's say you definitely got to have, you know, rock star traders that have kind of come through that you've really paid attention to on the platform. Is there someone that you think, if not now, in the near future, could have enough pull to really push a stock?
You know, certainly. And we've seen that, you know, happen already. It's a funny dynamic where, again, not to get on the soapbox, but that's not a new dynamic. You know, we've had activist investors for decades go on TV or write articles. And that's part of this macro game, right?
Sure.
When people talk their book or share a trade to build momentum for something. The difference now is that it's no longer the traditional, you know, when Warren Buffett announces that he's buying a stake in Apple, it can move the needle. Now we're seeing people in crypto, in small cap stocks. We're seeing people who on common stock will share very thorough detailed research on a token or a stock. And that'll get a lot of interest and can in some cases move the needle. And I don't know that that's good or bad, right? We've had one person shared their diligence, their research on a token and shared that they bought a really substantial portion and were heavyweight in that token, and it helped somebody else like change their life because they made, they followed that diligence and agreed with it, bought in. And I think they put in 100K, went up 10X, and they were like, thanks, common stock helped me become a millionaire, which again, is not something that we can promise for every person, but that's, right. It's interesting to see that dynamic where anybody with enough effort and intelligence and research can actually move markets. And that's the way that it should be. That's why they're public markets. They're open to everybody. And if you, you know, put the time in to unveil something interesting or share interesting insights, that can be really powerful, right?
Totally makes sense. That reminds me, when I was in college, I actually wrote a paper on Jim Cramer back when he could really affect the markets on CNBC. And that was wild to see, you know, what kind of impact TV had then, where, you know, there's so many different outlets now, and something like Common Stock could be that next big one to really have something like that happen, whether it's good or bad. I mean, that's arguable between people, but the public market should be open to everybody, not just these hedge funds pushing, you know, their agendas. So I totally right. agree with that.
And it's, I think it's funny because it's a kind of game theory, right? If you are in a position to, and you are responsible to your LPs to do what you can to outperform the market, that's, you know, some would argue part of the game of the market, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just, the market is a living, breathing thing that changes constantly over time, in my opinion. And historically, it's been people like Cramer who are allowed to move the needle by mentioning something, and that's, they're aware of their impact. And it's not to say that they're using it for malicious purposes.
Right.
Now there's a new dynamic because retail, as is healthy, is now such a larger part, are able to have more say. And it's people who all love their Peloton bikes and share pictures of their Pelotons and talk about their favorite instructors. If there are a million of those people who are now micro influencers to their friends talking about Peloton, that's more powerful and gets more distribution than one Jim Cramer.
Totally agree. And I think it's great the way the market's moving. So I don't know if you can call anybody out per se, but some of these really high level traders that might have been, you know, have proven results through common stock, are there any standouts that you could mention specifically by name, or any kind of, and if not, maybe any kind of outside the box plays that they made that really paid off, that you were like, wow, I never thought of something like that, that maybe, you know, a traditional trader would have never thought of. Anything that really stands out in recent history?
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't name names just sure. because I want to respect the privacy of people and want to get their approval beforehand. Right now, I can think a lot. You know, obviously, cryptocurrencies are pretty topical and are top of mind where people, there's so much happening and it's changing so rapidly. So I've actually seen a lot of very valuable posts about, you know, trying to explain new tokens or weed through a lot of the noise of the crypto world and share the value of specific projects or tokens. And it's been, you know, that's where we've seen, it's interesting to compare and to be a platform that supports both crypto and stocks, where mm-hmm. you're almost diversifying as from asset classes. You've got, you know, your equities, your options, you know, the option plays where I might buy Coinbase options and Coinbase calls, and then buy one of the new tokens that they're about to launch as an even higher beta play. And so we're seeing a lot of interesting ability in the community where people will analyze things in ways different than before, whether that's a crypto token project, whether in some cases NFTs, in some cases that might be analyzing a traditional public equity, not from like the, you know, the fundamental earnings, not from the technical analysis of a chart. In some cases they're doing that, but from the macro trend, right? Will this become a meme, or right? How will the retail traders react to this move? And I don't know, there's still to be blunt, it's all evolving so rapidly. And that's where finding people with unique insights is how you can outperform the market. And seeing that they've done that on a repeatable basis is what we hope to accomplish, being able to verify that this is something that an investor with a great track record is good at doing. Because I think if you try to follow too much of the crowd now, you can end up actually underperforming. And that's what we saw a lot of hedge funds do last year up until the end when things started falling. So it's pretty rapidly evolving. I think the token stuff, seeing new token projects be shared and talked about, where I don't know how, what the end game of these, what this, it's certainly frothy, but there are some that are so powerful that I'm personally so excited about. And that's where this gets really excited.
Definitely. Is there an education aspect to it too? Where if, let's say I follow someone who's really good at crypto and they say, there's this new token, here's, are they explaining what it is and what it's all about? Or are they just saying, I like this because X or Y?
Oh no, to be clear, it can be both, but it's really more about the education and the logic and the reason behind it, right? And okay. That's a layer deeper than somebody going on traditional social networks to try to just pump their sure. coin, which I think has led to some not great behavior.
Definitely.
The hope for us is that there's actually more insight into the rationale, the logic, the long-term, economics of it, the eventual business model or whatever it might be, right? The impact that it might have. And so I think that's where Common Stock shines, is being able to have somebody talk their book, validate, right? I put real money into this, right? If I'm saying that this is something I'm excited about, you can see my portfolio. You can see that I've actually bought a substantial part. It's a 20% holding in my portfolio. And so I've literally put my money where my mouth is. Here is why I'm doing that. And here's my logic. I would love feedback. And then we see in the comments, really great debates, healthy discussions about the pros and cons. And that's for me, even more valuable, is not just the education of what this project is or what this, even a stock or a pharma company might be, but then the discussion about the pros and cons of that investment. And that's where the real education comes from, is that discourse and that healthy discussion.
Awesome. So let's say I find your account on Common Stock David and I say, I really like this guy. He's got a good track record and I like the way he thinks about trading. I think you already touched on this a bit, but am I able to get, instant trade alerts? So let's say you bought Tesla stock right now. Is there something that maybe an alert would get sent to my phone saying, hey, David just bought Tesla stock or something like that?
Yep.
So I can follow along with you.
So if you follow me, you will see within 15 minutes, we're working on getting it more instantaneous. Right now it's 15 minutes. So we're frankly not built for intraday, up to the second, high speed quant trading.
Sure.
But within 5 to 15 minutes, you'll get a real time alert that I just bought Coinbase calls, or I just bought Tesla stock, or I just bought Bitcoin, buying the dip. And you can, on your phone, you can tap that. You can actually trade straight from Common Stock if you want to. You can copy that trade. And the hope is that, this has happened with me, rapidly see that, Ethereum is dropping, or Coinbase is dropping, I want to buy this dip, or something is starting to rip.
Sorry to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
When you said you could purchase right within the app, am I going to put an order in and I'll just forward to my brokerage account, or how does that work? Because you've connected your account, right?
Yeah. So we built the option, which is it's kind of hidden right now because we haven't fully built it out. Right now it's purely market orders, but that was what we spent time specifically building for the long term, because we didn't want to rely on third-party APIs.
Sure.
We built the ability, if users want to trade directly from the platform. So in theory, you would hit copy this trade and it would tell Robinhood to make the same trade that I had just made. And right now,
and as long as the funds are in your account, it should all go through, right?
Yep. Exactly. Okay. And so we never touch the money. It all happens within your brokerage account.
You're just firing off an action to whatever brokerage account you use, I guess, or Coinbase, whatever it may be.
Exactly.
Awesome. That's really cool. So another question I had that's, I guess, more kind of personally for our show would be, let's say we want to start an exclusive Common Stock group just for our Invest Like a Boss listeners to join. Is that something that would be possible to do, kind of more of a forum, but we just want to keep it to people that follow the show? Is that something that you do, more of a group status by invite, I guess?
Yep, 100%. That is something that we have functionality for. We're actively building out more functionality frankly would love that, would love to help you out and help build that. And it, you would get a, you could build a group where you could, in the group chat, you could see what people were buying and selling. There's a little prompt in there as well. You could talk about why. That's exactly what we've got built, and that would be amazing.
That might have to be a new feature for our Patreons coming up. I think we'll discuss that after this interview.
Yeah, perfect.
Let me talk about the future of Common Stock, because obviously you're a new company, essentially, you know, 2 to 3 years old since you've launched. You touched on the growth a little bit. I know you can't mention specific numbers, but where do you see Common Stock, you know, a year from now, 5 years from now?
Yeah, so it's funny, and I think for anybody starting a company, one thing that I've learned is how long it takes to really build something of value and be prepared for that. I certainly didn't know that when I started this. I thought you could build a social network for the stock market in 6 months and then you're done. Yep. And so you have to really operate on these longer timelines, these longer horizons. That's where I get even more excited, where I see a world where the primary way that you interact with not just stocks, not just crypto, but all of these new asset classes, where everything is going to become investable. And that's where, you know, we have Masterworks for art. We've got, I think it's Vivino for wine, or one of the, I can't remember which the wine one was, is, but you know, I want Common Stock to be this layer that is the home of all communication, news, discussion, all of the knowledge and insights around trading and investing. Build this home for that, right? This, whereas all of the custodians become embedded, that this is the way that people interact with the market, is this terminal-like experience. Again, that's the 5 or 10 year vision. For right now, you know, I still think of this as a beta product, even though we're fully launched, it's fully live. There's so much, it feels like we're just barely getting started. And we've built an enormous amount over the past year from raising our Series A. We're about to start releasing a ton of really, I think, just some of the coolest things that are pretty novel that have never existed before. And we're able to do that because we are purely focused on this layer on top of brokerages. So, you know, visualizations, tools to analyze your portfolio, your trading, your stats, to, you know, to visualize trades on a chart, things like that, to be able to create your own synthetic, you know, ETFs and funds, going more into crypto, building our own fund. We've got data that across all retail is so fascinating and so valuable. So you can see what's being bought and sold across all of retail. There's a lot more that we'll be tapping into there.
Sounds really exciting. So as far as funding goes, it looks like you guys just raised a $25 million Series A about 3 months ago as we record this. Can you give us any insight on any future funding plans? And we've really pushed into startups lately. Is there any potential future funding raises that maybe some of our listeners could get involved in as well?
So we're not raising right now. We don't need to raise anytime soon, which is very fortunate. But because this is such a hot space, because the company is going so well, to be honest, we've been getting a lot of inbound offers. For right now, we're just totally focused on product, right? Sure. Everything for me comes back to just building the right product and community. But one thing that we've did in the last Series A round that we will 100% be doing in the next round, which who knows when that will come. But as we continue to take off, I would imagine sometime soon, I would love to have all of your listeners. I would love to have all of your like community invest, and we will do a community portion because I just think that aligns so much with the ethos of the company. And right. I want to build a community that is literally invested in themselves, in the product, and building the product and helping improve the product. So that is very much something that we will do. We may not even need to use, you know, traditional institutional investors if we, depending on how this goes. But that's something that I'm very excited to do.
That sounds awesome. I think a lot of our listeners would be interested in that as well. One last question before we get out of here. So as far as I can tell, everything on Common Stock is free to sign up and free to join. And I don't see any particular monetization plan. What's kind of the future of that?
Yep. We everything is totally free as of right now. For us, we aren't worried about monetization right this second. We're worried primarily about building a community again that provides value to users. And then there's so much that we could do to monetize and will ultimately do probably in the next year or two when we start introducing advanced features, the ability, you know, you've been using Patreon, the potential to create groups that are, you know, locked that people pay to access. I can't give away too much. I'm trying to walk a fine line of,
sure, yeah, I get it.
there are premium features and there's really cool data that we want to aggregate and let users finally get access to. There's a community fund that we could do. So there's a lot coming, but I wish I could give more detail, but I have to keep some of those cards close to the chest.
Yeah, this all sounds really exciting. I'm actually going to create my common stock account right now and poke around and maybe find someone that inspires me. Maybe you, David. We'll find out. So why don't you just tell our listeners where to go? Obviously, give a little plug, commonstock.com. What else do they need to know? Can they follow you or anybody on your team that you recommend to follow?
They can follow anybody. They can follow me. Commonstock.com is the website. There's also an app in the iOS App Store. It's all totally free to download. My username is @McD. You can see that I have the most basic retail portfolio ever, where I bought Tesla and Zoom and a few others at IPO, and that did well. Now I'm getting a little crushed on Robinhood, and then I've been getting more into crypto, and it's been fun. It's been valuable. I wish I had more time to trade more actively, but that's where I hope to share a lot more exciting information. So come to commonstock.com, give me a follow, and let's invest together.
Awesome. And we'll leave all those links in the show notes as well. Links to the apps, the website, and where to find David on the site. David, thank you so much. Really insightful interview here. I appreciate you coming on Invest Like a Boss.
Derek, thank you so much for having me. This is always so awesome to chat. Love the community, love the podcast, and would love to keep chatting more.
All right, Mr. Boombastic, welcome back to the show.
So I think that was really interesting. David just seemed like a cool guy. He can really talk. And I was interested to hear a lot of the stuff he had to say. I like that this whole thing just kind of started from, you know, coaching these rich guys on Wall Street who just want to play some squash or tennis or whatever it might be. And then he's like, why can't, you know, we just do this ourselves and start a group and talk about all making these moves like these guys are doing. We don't need this crazy office on Wall Street and work 1,000 hours a week. We can be successful on our own if we just work together.
Yeah. And you know, the fact that it's already happening, you know, in what, I guess, invest Twitter, crypto Twitter, and then, you know, Reddit subreddits, it means it's out there, and CommonStock just gives it a better platform. Where it kind of actually reminds me of Venmo, you know, like when you Venmo your friends, you get this kind of status that says, you know, what somebody bought, and then they can kind of write like a little description of why they bought it, what it was. You can see their, you know, the graphs. I think it's a cool system.
I actually hate that part of Venmo. Every single Venmo I do is private. I use Venmo all the time, and I just put it on private. I'm like, why do you need to know why I'm giving so and so money? And then if I see someone else giving someone money, it's like, or they, a lot of people will leave like stupid emojis or like do a joke or something. I'm like, what was that money actually for, and why are you paying this person that? It's like screws with my mind, so I like to leave it private.
Well, you know, I mean, not everybody also wants to share what, you know, what they're investing in, but the people that do love having a platform to be able to do so.
Yeah, and I started following some people on CommonStock, and honestly, a lot of people, this is what we talked about before too, where you're too in the market. You're moving stuff. You're changing stuff. You're making trades. And if you just, everything on CommonStock is compared to, I think, like the S&P 500 or their performance compared to the S&P. A lot of these big investors that have a lot of assets under management, they're getting beat by the S&P.
Well, one really cool thing about CommonStock, and the reason why I'm instantly happy I joined, if for nothing else, even if I never use it for anything else, I like seeing that graph. Because I checked what my S&P number was for the last year. What percentage do you think? Do you think I'm up or down?
Oh, I mean, you got to be up. I mean, there's no question there.
Okay. Well, how much do you think I'm beating the S&P?
I'm going to say the S&P is probably like 15 or so. I'm going to say you're at like 18.
43, buddy.
What? 43%?
Yeah.
So this is from win to win.
I think from whatever January I mean, it's like 1 year prior. So
okay. So,
yeah, so January 2021, January 22.
So Johnny's been missing out on giving me some stock tips, I see.
yeah. You know what? Yeah, people should be following, in the Patreon. I post all my trades. And this is actually cool because this will allow us to do it automatically. Unfortunately, you can't connect certain things. Like, for example, you can connect your Coinbase account, but I can't connect like my Celsius account, for example.
Oh, so, yeah. I think they're still working on more platforms.
Yeah. So in there really right now is just Charles Schwab and Vanguard, which has, you know, all my stock holdings and like none of my crypto, but I think it's pretty cool. I've created an account. I've decided not to make it public, but let's test it in just the Patreon. So in there, we'll post a link where you can follow and we can create like a private group with just iLab Patreon guys. And we could just kind of, let's see how that goes. Cause I think that might be kind of cool.
Yeah. Awesome. I actually just signed up for my account too. I'll put mine in there as well. And I just joined your group, Johnny, and I haven't connected my accounts yet, but that's the next step. I kind of ran into some time issues, but I can definitely put my Coinbase in there. I'm assuming TD Ameritrade it's got to take. And I'll see whatever else I can put in there. I think it'll be interesting though. As far as like, is it giving you, have you noticed if it gives you alerts right away with trades or do you got to manually do that? I haven't dug into it too deep yet.
I don't know. Cause I'm not following anyone right now. So I have no idea how it works, but it is cool to see my own dashboard. It's cool to be able to see other people in your group's dashboard. And then as far as the kind of the social aspect, I did scroll through it. But at the same time, I'm not a day trader, you know, it's just not my style. You know, I'm all about buy and hold investing. And sometimes these day traders are going to beat me. You know, some years like 2021 with AMC stocks or Hertz or, you know, or crypto, they're going to beat me. And then over the next 30, 40 years, I'm probably going to beat them. So that's kind of just a different style. So really this style isn't for me, but I am glad it's around because I think it does add value to the non long-term bond holders and they're required to make the market move. You know, it's funny because when I first, you know, read books like Money Master the Game or like Simple, you know, Path to Wealth, or learned about Vanguard or, you know, low cost index funds, I thought, oh, this is the end to stocks because everyone's going to just own, you know, at least S&P, if not like VTI or like some total basket. That's it. There's going to be no more volatility. There's going to be no more, like, you know, people aren't going to be buying individual stocks anymore. But boy, was I wrong.
Yeah, I think it speaks to, you know, kind of the ADD nature of everything now, that stocks are probably more popular than ever because it's exciting, honestly. Johnny, I love that your performance is awesome and you're crushing it. To me, it's boring. I mean, I own a lot of index funds, but it's definitely not, you know, the 75% or 80% of my portfolio or whatever it may be. It's maybe half. And those are cool to look at and it's fun to see up, but it doesn't hit the dopamine in my brain.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this is also why I don't gamble. You know, pretty reserved kind of guy. So yeah, I mean, I find my thrills in other places. And this is not going to be something that I'm going to be spending too much time on, but I can see a lot of people, especially people who are kind of more like you, you know, who want that dopamine hit, you know, want to invest and trade and, you know, challenge friends, new friends and kind of each other and build a track record. I think that's pretty cool. But I do have a caveat on that is, as we've learned in previous episodes, just because someone has a really good track record for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, doesn't mean that they're going to continue. You know, if anything, the riskier you were these last few years, the higher returns you would have had. So kind of the worst investor you were over the last 2 years, you'd be in the top of leaderboards right now.
Yeah, we're definitely in a special market where you're right. You kind of do get rewarded for bad behavior. I want to get your thoughts on kind of this group mentality of, like, I brought up Wall Street Bets or things like that. So what if, let's say we start, you know, this iLab group that we're going to kind of build upon here for the next few months. And, you know, we have 500 people in there that are really influential and could, you know, potentially 500 people spending $10,000 each is enough to move a stock. What do you think about people having the power to do something like that, to maybe not necessarily manipulate a stock? It could be a good company, but it's just an interesting concept that, you know, hedge funds have been doing forever, but now it seems like the retail investor power shift has kind of occurred.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if, you know, iLab personally is ever going to be moving, big stocks. But in general, I understand your concept, because the power of, you know, the many can move. I mean, so what we saw with Hertz and AMC, I don't know. I think these are, I don't think it's good for anyone to speculate. But at the same time, the people who buy the stocks, they know they're speculating. Like, most people who buy, you know, most crypto or, these kind of meme stocks, they know they're just gambling. So it's definitely not. And as far as for the company, I'm like, I don't know if it's even good for the company, but I personally don't like it. But at the same time, I don't think it concerns you or I. I am curious how it changes what a stock is worth long term, but definitely in the short run, it, you know, bounces all over the place.
Yeah, I kind of thought that same way until he brought up the point that, you know, what's stopping Elon from tweeting about some new Tesla that he's just brought out that, let's be honest, probably doesn't even exist. For instance, the Cybertruck that he was talking about for 2 years, they just pulled the whole thing off the website. Like, it doesn't even look like it's going to happen. But if Elon tweets that something's going to happen, it doesn't have to happen. It can drive the stock up 10% or whatever it may be. Or like what I said, Jim Cramer, but he's got less pull than he used to. But back in the day, if he was mentioning a stock to buy it, that stock's going up the next day. So I don't see how it's really any different than, you know, having one large whale kind of jump in and support a stock versus, you know, a group of people.
Yeah. I definitely see that. I mean, I think, you know, this is why, another reason why I don't like investing in individual stocks, anything that can get swayed, you know, like that. I mean, the thing I actually hate even more is, you know, companies who will short a stock like Citron Research, even though the stock, that the company actually is fine, like when they try to short Shopify, which is actually a very good company, just to make money. And, you know, that's not fair to Shopify or investors or anyone. It is good though, if they are exposing, you know, value, or they're exposing, you know, companies that aren't doing a good job and their stock price is, you know, artificially high for no reason. So, I mean, you know, the market is the market. I mean, it's there. There's for a reason. It's complicated, and it's designed, you know, to withstand this. And actually, a lot of times, you know, this somewhat manipulation might even help.
Yeah, I agree. And a lot of this stuff is really short windows. So you got to get in and out at the right time. You know, you can get burned just as fast as you made all that money as well. So I think you know, the market's proven over time that it'll balance itself out.
Yeah. And the most interesting thing for me is the fact that even though these low cost index funds like Vanguard exists, it's never going to have 100% adoption rate. There's always going to be people, you know, who are going to want to invest or day trade or, you know, or beat the S&P, which is literally what it's for. So very happy to have Common Stock on the show. And I'm excited for new technology and kind of new ways to, you know, to be social online. I still would like them to add a feature where, you know, we can, like, you know, I would, you know, have like, I don't know, some kind of, I don't know, maybe there's some kind of verification or something that, like, there's a significant amount of money in someone's account. You know, they don't have to like say specifically how much it is, but I think total account value needs to be $10,000, you know, at a very bare minimum, or I don't even want to hear from them.
Yeah. What if they did like a kind of like the blue check in Twitter? It'd be like a verified millionaire or something. That'd be something kind of interesting if they wanted to be.
I would love that. I would love to have verified millionaire check or $1 million invested check. You know, and that can be optional. People don't have to display it if they don't want to. But definitely, I would like to have like any trades less than $1,000. and any total counts under $10,000 to be completely disregarded, because I don't even want to see it. It's like, it's useless information to me. It's like someone, you know, who has like, what do you call those things? Like those toy betting accounts. And they're like, yeah, you know, like look how much money I made in this, you know, casino right. app game.
Yeah. Or I did 2 million in faux trades. Look how much money I made when you made nothing. So I like that. If only someone had a connection to the CEO of Common Stock, I might have to shoot him a letter. I like those ideas. So shout out Common Stock for coming on. We're going to work with them for the next few months to try to build up this group. So we'll see how it works out. Hop on Patreon. So go to investlikeaboss.com, become a Patreon, and we'll put the links up to where you can find us in there. We'll get Sam an account too, so all three of us can be in there. And we'd love to just hear you guys' ideas, what you're investing in and what you're following, even if it is just index funds. That's, if you're making money, it's exciting to me.
Yeah, I love it. Cool, Derek. Great talking to you. And everybody, if you're in the San Francisco Bay Area, if you want to come out tomorrow, Friday, January, 14th, we're going to be having dinner at 6 p.m. at a secret Patreon-only location. So sign up. We're doing a lot of meetups this year. You know, I think we're going to do one in L.A. We're going to do one in Barcelona. We're going to do one somewhere else. So support the show. Be part of the inner circle. Go to investlikeaboss.com. Click on Patreon and join for as little as $5 a month. And also take a listen to last quarter's Q4 updates of what we bought and sold. And you can kind of see why my portfolio is up 43% this year.
And one more quick way to support the show before we get out of here. We had some awesome 5-star reviews come in over the holidays. I think a lot of you guys caught up on some podcasts, which was awesome to hear. Chul HM says he just listened to the landlord episode. Remember that one, Johnny?
Oh, that was a great one. Yeah.
I said, I'm speechless. It was so inspiring and motivating. Like nothing is impossible. And the rest are just excuses. Great episode. Can't wait to listen to some more. Thank you. 5-star reviews from Semper5149. This is by far the best investment podcast that iTunes has to offer. Informative and comical. December 24th on Christmas Eve, someone was listening. E777 said, great investing exploration through many different types and strategies. You guys leaving those reviews helps so much, and it just helps us build the show. I actually just got emailed a really cool guest that I can't talk about yet that I think is going to be, for you crypto people, very exciting. And they actually looked at our reviews and then decided, okay, I think I'll do this show. So your reviews really, really help us get these big guests on.
Yeah. So if you haven't left a review yet, go to Apple Podcasts and leave one right now. Thanks so much. See all you guys in California. Yeehaw.
Did you drop a yeehaw in there?
Thanks for listening to the Best Like a Boss podcast. Join our mailing list at investlikeaboss.com to get exclusive access to our insider investment portfolios and our private members forum.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Tell your friends and leave us a review in the iTunes store. It helps more than you know. See you guys next week.